Okay. Thank you. So today I'm going to continue talking about the interactions of triazine herbicides with biochars, and my co-author, Frank Shao, is the one who did all this work, so I'd like to acknowledge him. He was a previous speaker. He did an excellent job. This research was published recently in Water Research, and it was funded by the National Science Foundation Environmental Engineering Program. So I guess Frank actually did some of my introduction here, so I'll just blow through it. I don't think I have to elaborate on these points to this audience. Triazine herbicides are widely used in agriculture. They may be maybe the second most widely used class of herbicides in the world. Biochar is a material that's of interest as a soil amendment. There are natural chars in soil due to wildfires and deliberate burning. And these biochar and these native chars are typically strong adsorbents due to their high porosity and large hydrophobic surface area. And so, unfortunately, systematic studies of the driving forces that govern sorption of triazines to char pyrolyzed biomass material is lacking, but obviously it's important. And so the objective of this study, which is part of a larger study, is to systematically probe key physical chemical properties of biochar and key electronic and steric properties of the triazines that govern adsorption magnitude and the rate of adsorption. So just briefly, the biochars that I'm going to be talking about are from maple wood. They're heated by slow pyrolysis under nitrogen at temperatures ranging from 300 to 700 degrees. And the herbicides that I'm going to be talking about today are amitrin, atrazine, promethon, simazine, and terbutrin. And you can see that some of these can exist. If you lower the pH to low enough, you can get them in their cationic form. Most of the experiments I'm going to be talking about were done at pH slightly above 7, but I will talk about some acidified systems. We also studied a bunch of reference compounds. These are heterocyclic compounds, pyridine, 1,3-diazine, which is a benzene ring with two nitrogen in it, quinoline, which is the naphthalene analog of pyridine, and benzene and naphthalene, so I'll be using those. Batch sorptions were conducted on azide poison synthetic groundwater at either pH 7.4 or 2, and the biochars were pre-wetted for 48 hours, and then the sorption period was 50 to 60 days. At which time sorption seemed to be finished. So first of all, I will just say that we took a look at sorption KD as a function of a variety of different properties of these biochars. Nitrogen surface area, CO2 surface area, the heat treatment time, the microporosity, the mesoporosity, CH ratio, OC ratio, and degree of ring condensation, which we can get from NMR studies. And for these two compounds, atrazine and neutral quinoline, and then three others, which I haven't shown here but were in previous published studies, we see no real correlation with any of those parameters. And you can see for yourself that the data is quite mixed up there, and there's no real correlation. So I need not elaborate on that. However, for those compounds, we do find a reasonably good correlation with a weighted sum of microporosity and mesoporosity. And these parameters are obtained from nitrogen and carbon dioxide adsorption isotherms. And you can, for each compound individually, you can fit it to this weighted equation here. And this shows the observed versus predicted. You can see almost all the data fall within the a factor of 3 from the 1-to-1 line. So it's reasonably good. And so it appears that both microporosity and mesoporosity are critical for adsorption of these molecules. I guess we were surprised to find that mesoporosity was so important, because micropores hold the vast majority of the surface area. But nevertheless, mesopores seem to be facilitating access to micropores, or at least that's what our working hypothesis is. So now let's get to the factors that affect molecular size. This data here that I'm showing you is data from a previously published paper in which we took apolar compounds that don't interact specifically, and we used a non-porous graphite as a flat surface reference state, and we measured the biochar water partition coefficient and the graphite water partition coefficient, and the ratio of those two is the char graphite partition coefficient. And it is slightly concentration dependent, but not too bad. And so that we take as a measure of steric effects, because the graphite surface is flat and freely open to the solutes under our assumption. And so you can see that as you increase the number of substituents, this is the left graph, you increase the number of substituents on the benzene ring from 0 to 4, the char graphite partition coefficient goes down. These are on log scale. On the right, we vary the number of fused rings, and you can see that as you go from benzene to naphthalene to phenanthrene, the char graphite partition coefficient goes down. So this strongly indicates that steric effects are operative. It's not surprising. You're talking about penetration in pores that are not much larger than the size of molecule. So now looking at these compounds I'm talking about today, we have adsorption of both the neutral and the cationic species on a number of different chars, and we measured the uptake rates of these compounds, and we fit them to a Fickian diffusion model and got an apparent diffusivity divided by the characteristic diffusion length, which is unknown, but so DAP divided by A squared, it's unknown, but it's a constant. And you can see, if you look down on the bottom, you can see the volumes of these molecules, the molecular volumes, and you can see that the diffusion coefficient goes down with increasing molecular size, just as you'd expect. So diffusivity is inversely related to molecular volume, indicating a steric effect. And you can also see that the cation diffusion is retarded relative to the neutral molecule diffusion. Now, we didn't know what we were going to find in this regard, but this is a very interesting observation. As far as I know, it's novel in the literature. We don't know whether it's due to a larger hydration sphere, that in other words, the cation has to drag in a bunch of water molecules, whereas the neutral molecule is not so tightly hydrated, or it's possibly the need for counter diffusion of an anion in order to maintain electrical neutrality. In other words, as the cation is diffusing in, the anion accompanying it has to come in with it. Otherwise, you have to otherwise, cations that are inside the particle have to diffuse out in order to maintain neutrality. So that would slow things down. One or the other, we don't know anyways. The other interesting thing is that B500, which had the highest mesoporosity to total porosity, also in all of those cases showed the highest diffusion coefficient. So this again suggests that mesopores are facilitating access to deeper and smaller pores in the solid. So now we wanted to use graphite as a flat, non-porous reference material for these compounds, and so we did the isotherms on graphite, and this looks similar to what Frank showed in his talk. What we found was that the surface area normalized adsorption is greater for these compounds on graphite than it is on biochar, which, as Frank mentioned, surprised us. And the origin of this preference for graphite could be steric or electronic, or it could be both. And we wanted to look into that further. So using this free energy model, we can take the difference in free energy between biochar and graphite, and between biochar and some reference compound, and we're going to be using benzene as our reference compound. We can take that delta delta G and partition it into steric effects, polar effects, and hydrophobic effects. The steric effects I've talked about, the polar effects could include dipole-dipole, quadrupole-quadrupole, hydrogen bonding, all of that sort of lumped into one, and then the hydrophobic effects. Now we can then go on to assume a linear free energy between hydrophobic component of adsorption and solvent water partitioning, and we can write this equation, but the hydrophobic effect really originates from interactions in the liquid phase, not on the solid. So the hydrophobic effect is really an exclusion from water, and it should be roughly the same between adsorption on biochar and adsorption on graphite. So we can say that this is approximately equal to zero, and we can cancel out the right-hand term there, the hydrophobic term. And that gives us this equation where we have the delta delta G for steric effects plus the delta delta G for polar effects can be equal to RT log the ratio of the distribution coefficients plus a constant. So we can now separate out steric effects plus polar effects from hydrophobic effects. And so this is sort of our result here. It's the delta delta G plotted on the left as a function of sorb concentration. And you can see the triazines are lumped seemingly together. And benzene is along the bottom there. And you can see that there's a favorable partitioning onto the graphite relative to the biochar. And so now I'll introduce some other reference compounds here. You can see in the dark brown there, naphthalene, and there's benzene, there's naphthalene. And so the favoring of sorption on the graphite for naphthalene is obviously due to a steric effect. Naphthalene is twice as big as benzene roughly, and it has trouble fitting into the pores on biochar, but not onto the flat surface of graphite. So there's a steric effect here, and so the triazines have at least have a steric component that's responsible for this. Now we also have some other reference solutes here, 1,3-diazine and pyridine and quinoline. You can see the difference between pyridine and quinoline. It's much like the difference between benzene and naphthalene. So that indicates also a steric effect between pyridine and quinoline. But 1,3-diazine and pyridine are quite similar in size, and not only that, but that they're isosteric with benzene. And so these molecules are also displaced onto the surface of graphite. The partitioning favors graphite. So there's no steric effect there, it's electronic. So really the triazines are behaving as though both steric and polar electronic effects are affecting their sorption. So on graphite then, if there is an electronic effect on graphite, what is it? And in the past, other published papers, we have posed pi-pi electron donor acceptor interactions. These occur when you have conjugated arene systems that interact mainly through quadrupole-quadrupole interactions between the two ring systems. It's favored by having donor strength is favored by having electropositive groups and also by ring polarizability, and acceptor strength is favored by having electron withdrawing groups. And so the surface of biochar has a lot of condensed aromaticity to it. The biochars we're using have ring sizes running from about 8 to about 42 carbon atoms. Fused ring sizes, we can get that from NMR. And of course, the graphite surface is an infinite fused ring system. And this part of the ring that I have encircled in red here would act as a pi donor to a pi-pi electron donor bond. And the triazines would contain nitrogen atoms, which would withdraw electron density from the ring, and they would act as pi acceptor molecules. So we can actually plot the free energy of adsorption on graphite against an index that reflects the pi electron deficiency of the ring. And these are three compounds on the right here where we've used density functional theory to calculate the electrostatic potential of the ring. And the green parts here and the yellow parts reflect electron deficient areas of the ring. And we can see that if we normalize the partition coefficient by the KOW, which removes the hydrophobic effects, we have a pretty strong correlation here of KD on graphite as a function of the electrostatic potential on the ring. The more positive the number, the more the more electropositive the ring is. This other curve here is for some neutral molecules. They form their own line, but yeah, 1 minute. Okay. So now if we go back to this chart, we find that the triazines, now even though you can't really see it here, but their distance away from the benzene reflects their electrostatic potential of the ring. And so this is strong evidence that pi-pi electron donor acceptor interaction is operative for the triazines. And the rest of it then has to, because the triazines are roughly equivalent to pyridine in their electrostatic surface, this amount here between the triazines and pyridine, we believe, reflects steric hindrance to sorption on the biochar. And the rest of it then reflects a combination of other polar interactions and pi-pi electron donor interactions. There's a couple other things here, but I think I'm running out of time. And so I will just summarize then. So this provides evidence that both steric effects and pi-pi electron donor interactions are operative for the triazine herbicides. Adsorption depends on a combination of microporosity and mesoporosity. Unfortunately, the coefficients of that regression depend on the biochar, so everyone has to be treated. I'm sorry, they depend on the solute, so every compound has to be treated differently. Uptake rates depend inversely on molecular volume. The cationic forms adsorb more slowly than the neutral forms, and I think this has implications for the fate of ionizable compounds in the environment that hasn't been that has been overlooked up until this point. Adsorption on one of these chars is sterically suppressed by, we calculate, about 1.2 log units, log base 10 units of KD relative to benzene. So, in other words, the triazines would be 10 times, more than 10 times more strongly adsorbed on the biochar if it weren't for steric exclusion relative to benzene. And pi-pi adsorption depends on the electrostatic potential of the solute and is greater on graphite than it is on the biochar. So with that, I'll conclude. Thank you for letting me go
Well,
over.
Thank you, Doctor. And we gave him some of Joseph's question time, or some of Frank's question time. And he is our last session of the day. I want to be very respectful of everybody's time and make sure that we do end the session on time. However, I do believe that if there are questions, then we can stick around and we can answer those, but I do want to stay true to the schedule. At 4 o'clock, we have a poster session down in the exhibit hall. We're about three rows in, numbers 514 to 527. And then it's going to skip to 600 to 602. However, they're all right in that same corner. So we're not all the way in the back. We're closer to the front of those areas. And then tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., right next door. And then we have our business session. And then we'll have an afternoon session that closes at 4. So that we are officially dismissed. However, if there are some questions for Dr. Joseph, I'm sure he will answer them.
Yes, the microporosity is calculated using carbon dioxide isotherm, and the total porosity and the mesoporosity is calculated using the nitrogen isotherm, and both of them use a density functional theory Monte Carlo method that's built into the instrument.
I think the question is,
have you tried non-graphite
materials that have porosity in the same range?
Have we tried them in what way? Sorption?
Yes.
No. Do you mean organic materials or inorganic?
Inorganic.
No.
I was thinking of zeolites and such.
Yeah.
Because they have the same porosity range.
No, we have not.
If there's not any others, then thank you.